You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
Everybody say glory.
Glory.
Everybody say glory.
Glory.
One time I was in a meeting of, anybody ever heard of Billy Brim? She's on with Gloria, but I used to know her when she was in Brother Hagin's meetings. And I was in an afternoon meeting of hers, and she said this: we've been taught you get what you say. And I say glory.
Glory.
Everybody say glory.
Glory.
Now, one of the things as your pastor that I do, especially on Sunday mornings, I teach you from the Word what I call practical living. In other words, I take the Word of God and I bring it so you can put it in your daily life so that when you go to work tomorrow, you can use it. And that's really what I do. But today's message is a little more directional. It's a little more something that I might do on a saturation service or a Wednesday night. I don't know the last time the Lord has released me on a Sunday morning to teach on a subject that I live to teach on, that I love to teach on, that I've been studying going on 28 years. Everybody say glory.
Glory.
Guess what I'm teaching on today?
Glory,
hallelujah. And so I've been asking the Lord, and because I'm an accountant in my past life, whatever that was, I love statistics. I love graphs and charts, and they're just beautiful. And they make sense, and you can tell a story from numbers and data. But the story that I'm getting from data that's going on right now in the United States of America about a generation that's here and coming up is troubling. The statistics, the numbers, the graphs, the charts I look at concerning the modern church in the United States of America is troubling. So I've been asking, Pastor Ron and I have been talking about, and one of the things, you know, I'm doing Thursday night, I'm doing the Ignite, and it is nice. You know, not that she keeps me from eating pizza, but I'm having pizza because I want pizza. And so, and that's an excuse. And so we're going to, we're really wanting to minister to the young adults and this 18 to 30 group. And yet, you know, just everything that's going on. And so we've been praying and talking to the Lord. And I've just come up with a conclusion that's nothing new. But the only thing that's going to change this generation is the glory. Because I don't know about you. See, I don't know about your experience, but I know about mine. When I was a young adult, when I was in my 20s, mid-20s, going a wrong direction, it was stumbling. It was my sister dragging me into a church where there was power that changed my life. Listen to me. The power changed me before the Word changed me. The anointing changed me before I got a hold of the Word. It was when I ran into the power that I became interested in the person of Jesus. And this generation, whether they know it or not, they're searching. They don't want religion. Neither do I. They don't want a dead formula. Neither do I. The interesting thing is God's never been that. They made him that. They made him dry. They made him dead. They made him religious. Amen. Now, you and I in this room, we don't know him that way. But the unfortunate thing is most people don't know that he can be fun, exciting, powerful, life-changing. And it's up to you and me to get to this generation. And we're going to. But we need to begin to, I just want to ignite you today. I want you to begin to believe with me, because for 25 years, Cornerstone Word of Life, you know, when I started this church, it started in the fire. We are known as a Word and Spirit church. We'll always be a Word and Spirit church. That's who we are. But I want you to know that a lot of times people are going to come first for an encounter with God. Listen to me. If Jesus needed the Holy Ghost, you need the Holy Ghost. If Peter needed the Holy Ghost because he couldn't talk to a little girl and he was cussing, if he needed the Holy Ghost, you need the Holy Ghost. If Paul, who was out killing Christians, could run into Jesus and then get filled with the Holy Ghost and change everything so that we're still reading his writings today, then you need the Holy Ghost. If you need the Holy Ghost and I need the Holy Ghost, then they need the Holy Ghost. But they're not going to encounter him until they see him in his reality. And they, you know, and I'm not just talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes, you must be born again, but there's a generation, they don't want to hear anything until they see something real and see something genuine. And you and I have something real and we have something general. What is glory? What is glory? Well, glory is a place. Heaven is glory. I would submit to you that God is made up of glory. We're going to get into that a little bit. What is glory? Well, glory is a cloud at day and a pillar of fire at night. Glory is Shekinah. What does that mean? It's an overwhelming presence that people couldn't even stand up in. What is glory? Glory is power. Glory is anointing. Glory is a heavenly materiality. Glory is something that manifests in a corporate setting and to a person alone. Glory is something that you can sense, you can feel, it'll change things. The glory of God is the healing power of God. It's the virtue of God. It'll change anything and everything it comes in contact with. Glory is light and glory is life. The glory of God is something that lives on the inside of you. And I want to remind you very quickly today that there is a circle of glory from the beginning of the creation of man until we're raptured out of here. You can look throughout the Word of God, and God started mankind in the glory, and he intends to end him in the glory. The Bible says, I'm getting ahead of myself, but this is like 30 years worth of stuff. It's all in here, and I'm always waiting for my season and my hour to be the glorious preacher, to be a part. Listen, the Bible says Jesus is coming for a glorious church. He's not coming for a seeker-friendly church. He's not coming for a died-up, dead-old church. He's not coming for a religious church. He's not coming for a doubting church. He's not coming for a dead church. He is coming for a glorious church. He is coming for a glorious church. And if these are the last days, and according to my wife, and the Word of God, and everybody else I know and you know, we are living in the last days. Therefore, there got to be a church with the glory of God on it. And I don't intend to be the only one. And I know we're not. There are good churches around this area, around North Alabama and Tennessee, and all over this nation and all over this world. But we have got to be contenders for the glory. And listen to me, some of you in this room may not understand this. The glory doesn't mean we run around the service every day. The glory doesn't mean we shake under the power all the time. The glory doesn't even mean we all just stand around talking tongues. The glory doesn't mean, you know, we're always laughing and dancing. The glory, those are reactions to the glory. And I love those reactions to the glory. But that is not the glory. People are, listen to me, we're coming into an hour of being the glorious church. And we're going to look today because I want your faith to grow in the fact that God has intended this from the beginning of the creation of man until the rapture of the church. And if you can, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you know what the will of God is, you'll fight for it. You'll contend for it. Well, why do we have to fight for it? Well, what I mean by that is we'll have to believe for it. We have to yield to him. We have to expect. See, you can't have anything without an expectation. And if we know that, then we will continue to see what we're seeing as a church and more. And it's not just supposed to happen in a building, in a room. I mean, in the book of Acts, the glory of God was being manifest more in the street than in a building. and we're expecting that. And I'm looking at some glorious people. Hallelujah. Well, I said a whole lot there, and we could just go home, but I want to preach you some line upon things. Everybody say glory.
Glory.
Why? Because you get what you say. Everybody say glory.
Glory.
And we're looking at all the things. I just gave you a brief introduction of what the glory does and all that. So let's look at Hebrews chapter number 2, verses 5 through 8. Hebrews 2, 5 through 8. It says, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. But one in a certain place, one angel testified saying, what is a man that you're mindful of him? Talking about God. Or the son of man that you visit him? How many of you know that God visited Adam and Eve in the cool of the day? You made him a little lower than angels. And we're going to talk about that word in just a minute. But this is what I wanted to get to. Thou crownest him with glory. Now, this is not some beauty pageant crown. This is not some king's crown that has nothing. When he's talking about crowning with glory, it's an authority thing. It's a position thing, yes. But also back in the day, I'm going to show you, it was a clothing thing. How many of you know Adam and Eve didn't wear natural clothes? Why? Because they were part of a nudist colony? I'm going to shake some of you up a little bit this morning. No, they were crowned with glory. That was their clothes. You made them a little lower than the angels, you crown them with glory and honor, and you did put them over the works of your hand. You put all things in subjection under their feet. You put all things in subjection under him. You left nothing not put under him, but now we see not all things put under him. Then that comes from Psalms 8, 3 through 6. When I consider the heavens, Psalms 8, 3 through 6, when I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, what is man? The angel's asking this question. What is this you created? I don't understand this. What's a man that you're mindful of him? The son of man, why you go talk to him? You have made him a little lower, and in the original, it's Elohim, which is a name for God. Why have you made him a little lower than you, Elohim? And why have you crowned him with glory and honor? Everybody say crowned.
Crown.
With glory and honor. You've made him to have dominion over the work of your hands, put all things under his feet. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image and out of our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Genesis 3:10-11, he said, I heard a voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee not that should not eat? What happened? He found himself naked. Why? Because he disobeyed God. Has anybody ever read this scripture? Romans 3:23. Anybody know that one?
Yeah.
For all have done what?
Sin.
What did Adam and Eve do?
Sin.
What's the next part? Come short of the what?
Glory.
What does that mean? Well, you thought it meant you didn't equal up to God. That's what you thought. That's what a lot of people think. That's not what it means. They were clothed. Mankind was created in the likeness and the image of God. Literal sons and daughters created in the likeness and the image of God. They were God the Father was God of all, and he made Adam and Eve the gods of this world. Now, I know that makes some people uncomfortable, but now who's the God of this world? So I don't know why that doesn't make them uncomfortable. They're not uncomfortable saying that. Well, the scripture says it. Well, it goes back, though, in Genesis, and it says it. I've given you dominion over every creeping thing. What? The devil came in like a creeping thing, like a snake. And mankind had dominion over him. But I don't want to get off on that. My point was Adam and Eve were clothed in a heavenly materiality. They walked in because they were clothed in the glory. They were clothed in the power of God. They were clothed in the substance of God. They were made in his likeness, in his image. Romans 3:23 says, when sin comes, it causes you to come up short of the glory. When Adam and Eve sinned, when their teeth pierced the fruit, what happened? They saw that they were naked. Who told you you were naked? In other words, God was trying to get them to talk, but what happens is when they sinned, sin caused them to come short of the glory. Caused the glory to leave. Causes the church to die. And living in and practicing sin causes the church today to still come up short of the glory. Now, let's see, though, what's really available. Because aren't you grateful that God didn't say, oh, well, no more glory for you. No more power for you. No more position for you, mankind. As a matter of fact, if he wouldn't come, if we would have just died in our sin and there would have been no hope. But God didn't just come and send Jesus to get you out of sin so you could make heaven. He came to restore. That's what Jubilee means. It means to restore. It means to recover all. I'm telling you that God in this hour wants the world to see that we have recovered all, even our position back to the garden. You're supposed to be ruling and reigning in this life like a king, not because of you, but because of him. Let's look at this. Hebrews 2:9, it says, but we see Jesus, everybody say Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, what's Jesus crowned with? Glory. Why would he be crowned with glory? What difference does it make? Because man in the beginning was crowned with glory. The Son of God, Adam and Eve, were clothed with glory. They were crowned with glory. They had dominion and authority. When they sinned, they came short of the glory. In other words, the glory left. They were no longer clothed in the glory. They were naked and ashamed, condemned. The sinful nature experience. But Jesus comes, born of a virgin, all God, all man. And it doesn't just say that he came and, here's Jesus and he's going to die. The Bible clearly says on purpose he was crowned with glory and honor. That he, by the grace of God, would taste death for every man. So now we've got somebody... We got somebody walking on the earth again, crowned with glory. And everywhere he went, he undid the works of the devil. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He was crowned with glory, and then he was anointed with glory. And everywhere he went, he undid what the devil was doing. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. They needed food, he multiplied it. They were dead, brought them to life. They were sick, he healed them. Amen? They were distressed, they were in sin, he set them free. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And he was carrying the Spirit of the Lord. And so just for time's sake, I got to keep moving. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Then we're going to start looking at us now. In whom the God of this world has blinded the mind of them which believe not. So we've got a whole generation that the devil is, and he's always done this, but there's a generation, that's what I'm talking about, that the devil has blinded their eyes to something. What? He's blinded their minds and then they believe not. Lest what? The light of the what? Not just the gospel, the glorious gospel. Oh, Jesus. It's not just the preaching and teaching of the word was never meant to be without glory and power. Paul said, I don't come to you with enticing men's of words wisdom. Enticing words of men's wisdom is not going to help. But I came to you with a demonstration. Then he said later, he said, that your faith would not rest in the wisdom of men, but that your faith would rest in the power of God. If this generation needs anything, if the United States of America needs anything, if you need anything, if I need anything, is we need the power of God in manifestation and demonstration right now. Listen to me. A nice talk is no longer going to do. The things that I read said if this generation continues on this path, if we're still here by 2050, Christianity will be a small minority in the United States of America. And that will not happen on my watch or yours. So we got to get after it. What do we got to do? Well, all we got to do is just believe God, what he said in his word, and participate. And expect. Expect what? Understand what's going on. The God of this world is blinding their minds. So that the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves. This is not a self-help program. This is not a willpower program. Listen to me. This is none of that. We don't preach ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus. Interesting when it says Christ Jesus, when Christ comes before Jesus, it's drawing attention to the anointing, because that's not his last name. Christ means the anointed one. What is the anointing? It's the glory. We preach not ourselves, but what do? We're not preaching ourselves. What are we preaching? We preach the anointed one, Jesus the Lord, and ourselves servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts and gives the light of the knowledge. Now listen, it doesn't say the knowledge just of Jesus. It says the knowledge of the glory of God. Amen. The Bible says in the last days, the knowledge... The knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth like the water covers the sea. The Bible says that in the last days, and we're living there. And you see, I feel like Daniel right now reading a prophecy that is supposed to be coming to pass, and it's not here. I feel like Daniel saying, we're supposed to be delivered by now. Why are we not? So let us set ourselves like Daniel to see what God has said to come to pass. He set himself to understand. He set himself to believe. And as soon as he began to believe, the Bible says the angels were dispatched. Now, we live in a new and better covenant, so when we get to saying and speaking glory, I just don't believe there's any resistance up there to the glory. The glory will be flooded. The Bible says, look, in the last days, the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. And I asked the Lord one time, what in the world does that mean? I didn't grow up by the sea. I don't understand the sea. I've got to visit the sea. And he said to me, this is very simple, but I'm a simple person. He said, when you go to the ocean, what's supposed to be there? Water. He said, it's just supposed to be that way. That's what I mean. It's just supposed to be like the waters cover the sea. Yes, it covers, it's heavy, but it's just supposed to be that way. It's just supposed to be that way. We're living in an hour when it's supposed to be that way. We're living in a day when the God of this world can no longer blind the eyes of those that don't believe. If we will preach the glorious gospel, if we'll preach the glorious gospel, if we'll believe for the glorious gospel. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, okay? So let's listen. 1 Samuel 2:8. Something I usually focus on a different part of this, but listen, talking about the church, listen, where are we? Who are we? Who are you? What are you and I supposed to be believing right now? There's many things to believe, but this is just so strong in my heart. He raises up the poor out of the dust. He lifts the beggar up out of a dump. Anybody glad to be lifted up out of the manure pile? Hallelujah. Living in sin, that's where you live, that's where they live. They don't know it or not, that's what's happening to them. But then what does he do? And this is what we usually talk about. He sets us among princes. What is that? That's authority, that's power, that's back to the original state. But listen, and he makes them to inherit. Can you read? He makes you to inherit. Just like healing is your inheritance. Just like prosperity is your inheritance. Just like the heathen are your inheritance. You have inherited the throne of glory. What's the throne of glory? It's a seat where the glory of God operates from. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. Have you been raised up? You're seated, Ephesians 2:6 said, you're seated with him in heavenly places. But what's the throne? It's the throne of glory. I just love that. All right, let's get, what did he prophesy about you? Isaiah 60, 1 through 3. You all know this one? I'm talking to you because if we want to change something, listen to me. This is the I'm going to use an 80s word. This is the coolest thing. Because all we have to do is believe God for the glory, which we can enjoy, and all that goes with it. And the Bible says that it's for the last days, and that but that's what changes people. So while you're enjoying the glory and the benefits thereof, and we learn how to walk in that, and be the glorious church, then you're receiving the benefits of it, but you're also helping people. Arise, shine, for the light is come. And the what? Glory. Of the Lord is what?
Risen.
Where? On who?
Me.
The light has come. What light? The glorious light. The light of the gospel has come to you. You've received it. And it's shining on you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. What are they in? Their eyes have been blinded. They're in gross darkness. There's a generation that's coming up that is in gross darkness. Well, you know, poor them, sorry for them, too bad, so sad. No way. I'm not going to leave them there. Are you going to leave them there? No, we're not going to leave them there. For the darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people. But, everybody say but. Oh, a three-letter word that's incredible. Amen. But the Lord shall arise on who? Turn to your neighbor, bump them and tell them, on you. Amen. And his glory shall be what? Where? Tell him again, on you. No, maybe on you. Maybe on the preacher. Maybe on Kenneth and Joyce and Creflo and no, on you. Listen, I don't care how much internet, social media there is, you are a living epistle read of all men. And you are still the best testimony for the Lord. And you can change people's lives. And you are filled with the glory of God. And you have the light of God upon you. And it says, and all Gentiles will come to your light. And not just anybody, and kings will come to the brightness of your rising. Now listen, 2 Corinthians 3:8. 2 Corinthians 3, I could just camp here and teach. This whole chapter in 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking about the glory of God. So what is the glory of God? It's a heavenly substance. What is the glory of God? I ran into the glory of God, and the glory of God rearranged my life. I've run into the glory of God many times, and the glory of God has changed my life. I have seen, both in this congregation and while I've been preaching around the world, I have actually seen a cloud of glory. Once you've tasted stuff like that, see, I'm ruined for normal church. I'm ruined. Ruined. Once you've experienced the virtue, the power, the glory of God, once you've seen it, once you've been used by God to administer it to someone else and you've seen their life change, you're just ruined in a good way. I'd like y'all to get ruined. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, this whole thing is about the glory. How many of y'all remember Moses? Anybody remember Moses? He went up into the Mount of Transfiguration. You remember he went up to the mountain? Not Transfiguration, but he was changed. Just like Jesus was changed at the Mount, we call Mount Transfiguration. That word transfigured is metamorpho. Anybody know anything about metamorpho? It's the caterpillar, butterfly. It's metamorphosis. The glory will metamorpho you. It will. And that's why there's not enough change going on in our lives. Maybe not here, but as a whole, I want to see more metamorpho. And it has to do with the glory and the word working together. And so, here in 2 Corinthians 3, it talks about Moses, and he went up and he received the commandments. And remember, he is shining like a light bulb. And then he came down, and they were practicing what? Adultery, which is a sin. What happened? Came short of the glory. Had to go back. Because they can't hang together. Now Jesus, now don't anybody get religious on me, because you are righteous, and you have received grace, and that grace teaches you not to sin. And you and I, how many of you know, even if you sin, you have an advocate, and you don't have to live in sin, you don't practice sin, and you need to be righteous conscious, not sin conscious, okay? But make no mistake about it, someone who lives in and practices sin, even if they're born again, it makes you come up short of the glory. More because of you, not because of him. It can be fixed immediately. It can be fixed immediately. But here in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 8, it says, in King James, it says, "How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious?" We live in the time of the ministration of the Holy Spirit. And it's supposed to be, everybody say, rather glorious. I just like that, rather glorious. For if that which was done away with, talking about Moses, was glorious. I mean, no, there was some glory going on back then. And Moses liked it. And there was another time that he said, "Lord, show me your glory." Y'all remember that? Oh, I wish I had time to teach on that. Show me your glory. Because today, I'll give you a little nugget. We don't really have to ask the Lord to show us his glory anymore. You know why? Because he lives in you. Lord, show me what, maybe a better prayer is, "Lord, show me what's in me." Some principles still apply to what Moses said. "Lord, show me your glory." For that which is done away is glorious. How much more is that which remains is glorious. So what he's saying is, we should be, no looking back to what Moses had, because what's supposed to be going on today should be bigger, better, more of it. Second Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is it? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not us. What's the treasure in us? Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. So what's the mystery? The mystery is, if the devil would have known, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Can you? Oh, come on. You see, we read over those things and we don't understand their connection. If the devil would have known, he would have never crucified not just the Lord of glory. If the devil hates anything, he really hates the glory. Why? He used to live in it. He knows it. He knows what it can do. And that's why he tried to get it off of Adam and Eve. He succeeded, but one showed up with a crown. And his name was Jesus. And he thought he was getting rid of the one who was anointed or crowned with glory. And what he didn't know was that when Jesus was raised up from the dead to go back to the throne of glory, he raised you up with him from a dunghill. He raised you up and set you in heavenly places, but in a throne of glory. And then, if that weren't enough, see, there was this mystery. The devil didn't know this mystery. The people didn't know this mystery. It was covered up. Because if he would have known this mystery, he really would have never crucified the Lord of glory. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What's the mystery? It's Christ in you. The hope of glory. Listen, you and I are in this room and we can change a generation. We will not let this generation go. And if you're from the 18 to 30 generation, then you are the ones I'm talking to even the most. And we're going to do this thing together. But what do we got to do? We got to have a revelation of Christ in us. There's a thing going on right now, and we can tell it when we're preaching. We can tell it in our Bible Institute. When we speak on righteousness, there is a real strong anointing. When we speak on who you are in Christ, when the Lord gave me that series, Who Are You? There's a real anointing on it. Why? Because God needs you to know who you are so that you can save a generation. Amen. He needs you to know you're a minister of reconciliation. He needs you to know you've been given a word. What is that word? It's a righteous word. What is that word? It's a glorious word. What will it do? It'll deliver people. It'll change people. What's the mystery? What's the mystery that'll solve the problem we're in? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ, the anointed one in you, with an expectation, hope, 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 hope. Oh my gosh, hope lives. Hope is alive. It's that hope. It's a confident, joyful expectation. It's Christ in you, the anointed one in you, with a joyful, confident expectation of a manifestation of the glory of God. Where's that manifestation coming? It's coming from the inside of you out. And if we can get a bunch of temples of the Holy Ghost, listen to me. Oh, I was thinking about this last night. What's that Philistine God? What was his name? Oh, Dagon. Was that his name? Remember him? They had a temple. And they took the Ark of the Covenant, which means gathered presence of God. It's where the glory of God, it was the mercy seat. It's the glory of God. An Ark of Covenant means gathered presence of God. And whenever the Ark of Covenant, wherever the gathered presence of God, wherever the glory of God was, they always won every battle. They went across on dry ground. That glory has not changed. The old covenant glory is not greater than the new covenant glory. We're supposed to be seeing more of it. But today, 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 6:19 says, you are now the temples of the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? You're the temple of the very glory of God. And so you remember this Dagon, dude, God, whatever? They put the Ark of the Covenant in there. What happened? Fell over on his face, had to bow down before it. They set it up the next day. What'd he do? Fell down again. Come on. We used to sing a song. I hear the chains falling. If we want the chains to fall this generation, and we do, and I want chains to fall off of anyone in this room, but if we want the chains to fall off a generation, we need to set the glory of God right in the middle of this generation. How do we do that? Just know who we are. And it doesn't have to be weird. And it don't have to be flaky. And it's not always running around a room, swinging from a chandelier. It's not always, I mean, those are responses to the Holy Ghost. But the glory of God is a heavenly material that will change people's life. And it lives in you. Christ in you.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org, check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWOLMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.